So we pick up, he is the head of the body, Jesus, amen? Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. Again, he was there in the beginning. God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. That means he's been there since before the beginning. You couldn't be there at the beginning. And yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. But that's what the cults teach. They try to teach denying the deity of Christ, and they'll try to teach that Jesus was the beginning in the sense that God created him and then created everything else through him. We tackled that already in the previous study, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying he is the beginning. See that? In other places it says, in the beginning was the Word. Here it not only says he was there, he is the beginning. The firstborn from the dead. Now we saw in our study, verse 15, Jesus is the first to be born from the dead. That's what that means. He's the firstborn. Look at verse 15. Remember what we read? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And we talked about how the cults will take that and say, yeah, he's the firstborn, meaning like he was, you know, created first. No, he's not created. Jesus is the creator. And he's the firstborn in the sense that we see right there in verse 18, the firstborn from the dead. Please remember that. Please remember that. Many years from now, maybe, someone's going to come along, try to stump your faith, try to tackle these passages about Jesus. And they'll say, well, they say he's the firstborn of every creature, so he couldn't be the creator. And if you remember what we've studied here in Colossians 1, you're going to remember that means he's the firstborn from among the dead. It's talking about his resurrection. It's not creation. John Wesley, he's one of those guys that, you know, this was before dispensations had really taken root. And a lot of these guys you read back here, Wesley and Whitfield and Spurgeon and those guys, you can eat the meat and spit the bone. And a lot of them, the reason why they were off on doctrine had to do with the lack of understanding of dispensations. And that's, I just want to say that as a kind of an intro to John Wesley. He didn't believe in eternal security, but yet he went around preaching you're saved by grace without works. Yeah. That's confusion. But he still, a lot of people got saved. Amen. As a result of John Wesley's ministry. Then if they attended his church, they'd get messed up on doctrine. But they're still saved. Amen. Yeah. And Wesley says, quote, the repetition of the expression here in Colossians 1:15 points out the entrance on a new paragraph, the beginning. Look at this. Absolutely, the eternal. The first begotten from the dead. From whose resurrection, now get this, get this. From whose resurrection flows all the life, spiritual and eternal, of all his brethren, that in all things, whether of nature or grace, he might have the preeminence. Amen. The only reason you have spiritual life right now is because of the risen Savior. The only reason you're going to have eternal life is because of the risen Savior. And that is why we love singing about Jesus. Amen. And unlike the contemporary Christian music, we like to use his name. We don't sing generic songs where they won't mention Jesus by name. Now, there are some contemporary songs that have that, but the percentages from the 70s to now have gone way down. And that's why we don't, when we pray, I encourage everybody to unabashedly, unashamedly, unreservedly, constantly, consistently pray in Jesus' name. I'm not saying your prayers are going to the devil if you don't happen to say in Jesus' name, but I just believe it ought to be something we do. And one of the things that will cure you of that, if you not really have a conviction on it, is to go to some of these meetings where apostates pray. And their prayers sound just like yours. Yeah. Except they won't mention who they're praying to and whose name they're offering the prayer. It's some just generic, our Heavenly Father. That's as close as they get. The great architect in the sky. the wonderful, majestic one. And then you go to some real apostate places and they'll say, who is called by many names? And that's when you just pipe up and say, wrong! Jesus is his name.
Amen.
He might have the preeminence. Look at Philippians 3. We'll close this thing up with a couple of important notes here. Philippians chapter 3. I'll read verse 8 while you're turning there. Yea, doubtless I count, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That's the Apostle Paul. Now, pick up, read verse 9-10 with me. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There it is. It's all about Jesus. He's the one who's preeminent. He's the one who gave you the righteousness that you need in order to have eternal life. You're not getting into heaven unless you're righteous. And you're not going to have righteousness unless you put on Jesus and his righteousness. Amen. That's why he's the preeminent one. And that's why it says at the end of our verse that in all things he might have the preeminence. It's all about Jesus. He's the first born from the dead. The firstborn of every creature. And this guarantees that he can and will raise all believers. That ought to make you really excited. That ought to really, I can't speak for everybody else. I can't speak for you, but I want to tell you what. When I hear the old hymns or a good song, or I hear a good sermon, or I hear a testimony, or I hear somebody, anybody ever, and I just read my Bible, and I read or hear or listen to someone talk about the resurrected Christ, the resurrection, and the power of that resurrection, and that he is the eternal God, and that he has conquered sin and death, and he is, as Jenny talked about this morning, he is going to raise every single human being who ever lived. Some to eternal life. Some to eternal damnation.
Yeah.
That includes the people you're burning in your gasoline. The fossil fuels that are left over from the flood and all those people that perished, and you're putting them in your gas tank. Food for thought. Jesus is what? Preeminent. It's a great word to learn. Take this from our previous study. I just want to remind you. Preeminence means superior in excellence, distinguished for something commendable or honorable. What'd I do? He's going, they call it biofuels, you know, biofuels. Yeah, there's a little bit of everything in there. It's like a big meat salad. Preeminence. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Say it with me. It's all about Jesus. So who will you trust? We'll close it on this. Who will you trust? God or man? If you're trusting God, then you, what I've told you this morning is a reminder. It's to put you in remembrance, but it's something that you carry with you. But if you're trusting man, then they'll make you doubt this book. They'll make you doubt the resurrection. Here's just a few examples of some people who trusted men and now regret it. This is right out of your headlines yesterday and day before. Missouri duck boat survivor claims the captain told passengers they wouldn't need life jackets.
Wow.
17 of them are dead and 9 of them for one family. You imagine waking up tomorrow and finding out 9 people in your family died in a duck boat on a lake in Missouri. And part of the reason was because the captain told them they didn't need those life jackets.
Wow.
That's the same thing everybody who's out there telling you don't have to be born again, that you don't have to go through Jesus, that you don't have to have the King James Bible, and that you can just willy-nilly, as long as you're sincere, blah, blah, blah. They are exactly what that captain of that boat is. You ever heard of this? You ever heard of that? I'm not talking about the stupid movie. Although the movie, I think, had the basic facts of it, but then it had all kinds of other sex and other stuff. The Titanic. This is from a paper written on the investigation of the Titanic. One of the factors that makes the sinking of the Titanic so memorable is the fact that lives were needlessly lost. There were not enough Titanic lifeboats on board to hold all the passengers. But did you know this? When the lifeboats were launched, they were not even filled to capacity. At the British inquiry into the Titanic disaster, Sir Alfred Chalmers of the Board of Trade was asked why regulations governing the number of lifeboats required on passenger ships had not been updated since 1896. He gave his reasons. Due to the advancements that had been made in shipbuilding, it was not necessary for boats to carry more lifeboats. The latest boats were stronger than ever and had watertight compartments, making them unlikely to require lifeboats at all. Man, 1,503 people dead because of that. In defense of the passengers, I'm not sure they would have known that until it was too late. Anybody get on there and say, wait a minute, do they have enough lifeboats on this thing? It's kind of something you take for granted.
It's very logical
yeah.
to have at least one seat on a lifeboat
per passenger. Per passenger,
right. And you would expect it that
way. And that's the thing is, and that's what I'm talking about, it's trusting man. Even though I'm not faulting them, please, if you have relatives or anybody who was on that boat, don't, you know, call in, criticizing me for criticizing them. I wouldn't have asked. You just take for granted they're going to have enough lifeboats. Okay? Well, that's what, yeah, it's what the last paragraph. Yeah.
They didn't have watertight compartments.
Huh?
They didn't have watertight compartments.
Yeah. It's all big. In other words, trust man and you're trusting the wrong thing. 1,503 actually would die. I'm going to give you one more example. And I'm shocked that none of the people didn't know what I'm about to show you. But it's true. You remember that? The tower on the right was hit and burning. The people in the left were told not to evacuate. And at that moment, the people who listened to man died instantly if they were in those there. But everybody from that point up died when the towers came down. And you can go online and search the story after story of people who survived and said that they were told not to evacuate. And they ignored them. And they survived. Now, am I telling you never to listen to man? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying never uncritically listen to man. You should always listen to what's said and think. This is just one story. This came out in 15 days after September. No, wait a minute, 5 days. Yeah. 5 days after, this is what, you can still find the stories that were put out there on the internet. Look at the anger of survivors told to stay inside Blazing Towers. And you read the story. Workers fleeing in panic were sent back. There were people who said they had to fight their way out of that building. because the Port Authority and others were there telling them, no, you stay here, there's no danger. And I'm going to go, boom. You say you shouldn't get violent. Shut up. If they're trying to keep me in that building at that time, I'm not doing it just for Greg. I'm doing it for everybody behind me.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I have never punched a cop or law enforcement or anything like that, but I want to tell you, there comes a point where you got to use your brain, and there might come a point where you have to do that. Kristallnacht. Yeah, that's when all bets are off, man. I every time I read about what happened in Germany and Russia, I'm thinking, why didn't those people fight? It's because people are taught to be sheeple. People are taught to be sheeple. You're just supposed to be a, oh, okay, okay, well, okay, okay, okay. I want to tell you, there's when I was a kid, we watched a story on Dateline, not a show I watch all the time, but it was from West Virginia, and I'd heard about it years ago. You're a baby when it happened. And it was a girl hanging out with a couple of friends, and it cost her life. She ignored all the red flags that these were bad people. They ended up stabbing her to death just because they didn't like her. What was she, 17 years old, 16? Let me tell you, some of my friends, you boys, Nick and Dorian and Dre, I'm here to tell you, sometimes you got to just decide it ain't worth impressing this punk. You're going to have friends who are going to try to get you to do things that you should not do. Don't do it. Because if you make the choice to do it, you ain't going to have anybody to blame but yourself. I told my girls that, and I got two idiots who are out there doing exactly what they shouldn't be doing. I get a phone call tomorrow saying that one of them's dead. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But you know what I remember? I remember I did that same thing before I got saved. My mom expected a phone call about me. So what do? You pray for them. You hope the phone call you get is from them and not from the authorities. And you hope that when they do show up next time that they're repentant. That's what you pray for. And in the meantime, you pray that God knocks them flat on their face, down in the dirt, and it hurts like nothing they ever felt. Because that's a whole lot better than hell. And who are you going to trust? Well, Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. God's word from cover to cover urges us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Amen?
Amen?
The book gives us one faith in one Savior. I don't care what the rest of the religious world and the culture and everything else says. Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
But I don't want to sing that song. I want to sing hymn number 63. Take the name of Jesus with you. As I say in one of our hymns says, only trust Him. All others verify. Amen? That's good advice I heard years ago. And then Reagan used to always say, trust but verify. Close, but I just say verify. Amen? If it isn't Jesus, verify. All right, let's sing number 63.
Every snare.
On each one here and those who weren't able to make it. In the coming week, we would hope and pray you would come quickly and take us.
Amen.
In the meantime, find us living lives that are completely committed to the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Give us opportunity, Lord, and help us to take advantage of opportunity to talk to folks about Jesus. To at least give a gospel tract, to pray for the lost, and to also be an encouragement to one another, helping each other along the road. We thank you, Lord, for this family, and we just pray, Lord, you again bless each one throughout the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 I once was lost, but now am found. for solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.